Welcome into the studios, the Honourable Member for Leichhardt, Warren Ench. A while since we've seen him, but he's back in the studio live with us this morning on Black Star Radio. Thanks, Warren, for coming in.
Look, it's an absolute pleasure, mate, and I got washed all the way into the studio driving in. I tell you what, it's wet, wet as, and I just actually just on the phone there to my sister and my mother up down in Babinda, and you want to talk about rain, it is wet, and it's quite extensive, but I tell you what, we needed it.
A lot of Western Queensland really, really been crying out for it as well, and same old story, still some people missing out. Look, Warren, getting down to business, we haven't seen you for a little while. Well, one of the things, you know, high on the agenda is the housing and the sort of bit of a dust-up between the state and the federal sides of politics. Give us the facts on that.
Yeah, well, look, and unfortunately, in the week that the federal government was sitting, we had Jackie Tran wandering around through the communities, and, you know, they should know better, frightening the living hell out of people, you know, saying, oh, well, the federal government's going to cut all the funding and there'll be no more in Napari, there'll be no more Indigenous housing. And, you know, quite frankly, nothing could have been further from the truth. Now, yes, there is a discussion happening at the moment, and the Queensland government is not talking to the constructively to the federal government. But to put it into perspective, there is no cut. Oh, let's make it very clear.
Yeah,
there will be continued building of housing in remote communities.
Right.
That is a fact, and the federal government will certainly be making their contribution to that, as they have. But you've got to look at the Napari, which actually was proposed back in about 2006, where there was it was identified that there was a need to accelerate the development of housing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was an agreement made between the state governments and the federal government that the federal government would put in an amount of money over 10 years, and that would be purely for construction of houses in mm-hmm. to help to catch up.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that was actually, we put the money aside. I was very much involved in that. And we
mm-hmm.
put the money aside 2007. It was announced in 2008. And it was a 10-year program. Now,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a mathematician to work out how when a 10-year program is going to be
yeah.
completed.
Yep.
And it's been amazingly successful. It could have been a lot less successful because initially it was handed over to the state and territory governments, and they were to build the, you know, to do this, and they made an absolute mess of it. They, you know, they were building million-dollar houses in some of these communities.
I've seen them.
Million-dollar, you would have seen them, mate.
I've seen
million-dollar houses, you know, for a couple of people, and the whole process got out of whack. Now, we started talking to the communities. And they were building million-dollar houses that people didn't want to live in. And they were, you know, they were flying all their contractors from all over the, you know, preferred contractors from the southeast Queensland, bringing them up, building houses that nobody wanted to live in, and basically costing a fortune. Now, what we've done subsequent to that, we started talking to communities. And we got, you know, communities like, oh, goodness me, so many of them, Napramum, Hopevale, you know, the NPA communities, and many of the others started building their own homes within the community. And they were building them for a fraction of the cost. And they were actually building houses that the local community wanted to live in and take pride in being in those houses. And, of course, they're building the skills. I think at the moment there's about 42 apprentices being trained up at the moment. If you go and have a look at the places at Hopevale, for example, they are absolutely magnificent. The Napramum houses, absolutely magnificent. And the same goes right across the whole community. And so we ended up building about 15,000, over 15,000 houses have been built. And so is it, once we handed it over with the community being involved, it became a very, very successful project. But we knew that it was running out. It was never going to be. And, you know, and I have to say to you, from a political sense, the Labor Party, of the 10 years, Labor Party was actually in government for six of those 10 years. They acknowledged that it was a 10-year program. They didn't try to extend it. It was always going to expire.
Mm-hmm.
So what we said to it, what we've been saying to them, to all the states and territories, look, Nepari expires in 2018, June 2018. We still put in about $6.7 billion into public housing. What we need to do is have a conversation about how much of that money we're going to take out and have it exclusively for the remote communities, because that $6.7 million, not a cent of that, goes into remote Indigenous housings. It all goes into the metropolitan areas. And anyway, New South Wales, Victoria, even Northern Territory have all come in and said, yes, look, we're happy to do that, and we've got an arrangement with them. In for example, in the Northern Territory, $1.7 billion is allocated to Indigenous housing. In Queensland, not a cracker. Absolutely not a cracker. And so we're still trying to, you know, we're still open for negotiation. We're saying to state government, Rodio, what are you going to quarantine out of the money that we're giving you? And at this stage, they're still playing silly buggers. They're going out into the communities and frightening the living hell out of them. But I've been having discussions with the minister, with Minister Scully, and I've said, oh, look, let them go. Let's keep going. We've still got a bit of time. Let some common sense prevail. But if they don't come to the party, let's quarantine some of that money that's going into metropolitan Australia, and let's put that, we'll fund directly into the councils, because that's where we're getting value for money. And so that's a real option that's on the table. We'll just take it out of what they get in Brisbane and in the other metropolitan areas, and we'll put it directly into councils. And that's not a bad idea, you know, because, no, seriously, we do it with Roads to Recovery.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That works very well. Goes straight to council. We get much more, you know, value for money. But understand that the public housing money that they get, that the state governments get, they get a double bite on that, because the tenants there are able to then claim rent assistance from the federal government. And, of course, that means they can keep the rents a bit higher, because there's that $80-odd dollars from rent assistance. That money then can, you know, the state government, because they keep all the rent.
Mm-hmm.
State government, not only do we give them the cash to build the houses, but we then allow them to keep the rent, and we pay the tenants rent assistance. So, but in Indigenous housing through the Nepari, they don't get rent assistance, and they don't get the rent. And so what we're saying is, if we go straight to council with public housing money, the councils can then charge rent, and they can claim rent assistance. So there's some benefits there. And only the other day I noticed, and this really made me angry, we've got an Indigenous group just up here in Mossman, builders, that are building houses or renovating houses at Mossman Gorge community, getting them in preparation for people to buy their own homes. And we've got people lined up that want to buy them. Now, they've put in a quote to renovate all these houses, to get them ready to transfer ownership. State government agency, you know, this is the Department of Housing equivalent, is putting a 14.2% additional charge on every element of those costs, 14.2, as a handling fee. So that means to say the state government is jacking up the prices of these houses by 14.2%, so that they can put that money in their pocket. But guess who's having to pay that? The people that are buying the houses.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I've made the minister aware of this. I've got a whole lot of documentation to show this. And this is another very strong argument as to why we should be taking it away from the state government and handing it straight back to the local communities, because that's where we're going to get value for money.
But, Warren, I'd like to check out with you on the NBRRR and what the situation is there before we run too short.
Well, look, I'll run quickly through these. NDRRA, that's your Natural Disaster Relief and Recovery, and all your councils rely very heavily on that if there's damage to their infrastructure because of the wet weather. Well, that's just been triggered again, and we're now seeing councils, and I've spoken to most of the mayors of these councils, and they're very happy with this.
Yeah.
But that allows federal money to flow into these communities to repair roads and that sort of thing. Arakoon Shire, Cookshire, Hope Vale, Lockhart, Marpoon, Napramum, NPA, Torres and Woodjill Woodjill, and the Torres Strait Islands, of course, and Mornington. So all of those communities now are going to get additional money into those communities for roadworks, which is absolutely fantastic. And it's all to do not with the cyclones, but with just recent rain events that have caused that damage. And all of the mayors, I can tell you, are very, very happy with the announcement.
Now, early languages, I noticed an announcement in the media just recently about 9 different languages that are going to possibly introduced into the schools. And I didn't see an indigenous language component there. That was a little bit disconcerting.
Well, no, not really, because the indigenous languages, right. they come under a totally different program.
That language other than...
But that's for a whole range of ones.
Yeah.
There are specific programs that are specifically for Indigenous languages.
Right.
And they are very, very active right throughout the communities. And I know, for example, up in the Torres Strait, Naomi Gotthard, who used to work for me, has been working up there, contract up there for quite some time, doing languages and that. So there's a lot of that work going on, totally separate. The one we're talking about here is, you know, Spanish and Mandarin and a whole range of other languages. And I've got to say to you, you know, I've got an 11-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And I always say to my kids, and I say to her, the two greatest gifts that anybody can give to a child, one is a second language, or to be able to, and the second one is music. But in the case of Indigenous, of course, it's absolutely critical that they're able to maintain their native tongue, and there's a lot of work done in a totally independent program to this one.
Righto. Now, on top of that, the Ranger program, that's been a very successful program, and there's been news in that department as well.
Yes, and there has, and it's been fantastic that we're actually putting more money into Ranger programs. But what's even more important about this, I think there's another $2.5 million going into it over 3 years, and this will train an additional 40 Indigenous Rangers. But what's even more specific about this, there are going to be 7 Rangers that are going to be now upgraded so that they will actually be doing enforcement. They can actually have the power to confiscate, they'll have the power to be able to prosecute. Wow. And you know, so those badges that they wear on their shoulder are no longer, they'll be compliance officers. So they won't be just a Mickey Mouse badge that really has no authority behind it. These guys will have the authority to be able to go in there and to prosecute, to confiscate, and the whole lot. And this is what has been needed to happen. We did a very successful trial program, but I'm getting calls from up in the northern part here from traditional owners that are complaining about these, about some of the abuses, particularly in relation to turtle and dugong. And they've sent me some horrific photos. This is from traditional owners. And asking that they need the backup. This is the sort of backup they need to do the prosecutions to stop this from happening. I think more power to them.
Long time coming, and boy oh boy, people have been crying out for this one for a long, long time. Warren, we are speaking of time, we are basically shot for time, but I do believe we're working on getting where we're going to meet on a bit more regular basis, so we won't have such a long list of things to get through next time that we actually meet up.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I enjoy having a chat, and it'd be nicer to drag it on, you know, to be a little bit longer there, because there's so much to share. One thing I would like to say, the 2018 NAIDOC Week is coming up. There's $1.4 million in grants out there for anybody looking at putting celebrations. Let's have a celebration about who we are, what we're doing, etc., and this beautiful and unique and rich culture, which is, of course, of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture. And I would encourage people either to contact my office because the applications close on the 3rd of April, contact our office, and then we'll be able to direct them to the websites, etc., so that they can put in their applications.
Thank you very much, the member for Leichhardt, Warren Ench, right here on Black Star Radio.